Dr. Roxanne Karani, also from the University of Washington, and she is going to be also speaking to expedited partner therapy.
Good morning. As Matt said, well, as my title says, I'm going to be presenting results from the same community-level randomized trial that Matt just presented, except my presentation is going to focus more on provision of patient-delivered partner therapy by providers. I'm going to run through the background and methods sections of my slides fairly quickly because Matt has already gone through most of this. I'd like to skip down to the third bullet on this slide and just say that providers are really key to a successful EPT program because you're not going to be able to increase partner treatment if the providers aren't offering PDBT to their patients. And previous studies in other places have found that there's relatively low use of PDBT among providers. So the objectives of this particular study were to estimate the percentage of heterosexuals with gonorrhea and chlamydial infection in Washington State receiving PDBT from clinicians for one or more sex partners. We also wanted to identify factors associated with PDBT provision from the clinicians and to evaluate whether PDBT provision from the providers was associated with increased partner treatment. The setting was this statewide community randomized trial of EPT. I'm going to go down to the intervention period and just remind you that we distributed free PDBT packs throughout the state through large volume clinics and commercial pharmacies. The case report forms listed pharmacies that were available in each LHJ, and we did a form of partner services triage where the providers were asked to refer their high-risk patients for partner notification and management. We also did a good deal of outreach to providers. At the beginning of the trial, we sent staff out to large volume providers to meet with the staff and to explain the PDBT program. We sent follow-up letters. We sent an annual letter to all providers who had diagnosed an STD in the state. And once the trial was ongoing and the intervention was in place, through our EPT data that we were collecting, we were able to identify providers who were not using PDPT and send them quarterly letters if we felt like they were not using the intervention. Again, these are our PDPT partner packs. For the purposes of this analysis, I'm going to focus on our randomly selected cases. 20% of all of the heterosexual cases were randomly selected for an interview. Our structured interviews were conducted by our study staff or local DIS in the LHJs. We collected data on both patients and partners diagnosed in the 60 days prior to diagnosis. We ascertained partner treatment to the best of the patient's ability. We looked at use of PDPT from the provider to treat the partners, and we also asked a subset of patients about whether they were offered PDPT by their providers. And we didn't start this until we were well into the trial, and that's why we only have a smaller group of patients who have this data available. The study period that I'm going to be focusing on is only the intervention period, so the times when each study wave of LHJs was doing the intervention, which includes April 1st, 2008 through the end of 2010. The primary outcome here is the receipt of PDPT from a provider for one or more partners. We used log regression for the analysis. We excluded MSM and patients who are younger than 14 years of age, and we waited for interview non-response based on gender, diagnosis, race, and provider referral. So during this period, in these LHJs, there were 39,324 heterosexual gonorrhea and chlamydia cases reported to the local health jurisdictions. Of those, 22% were randomly sampled, and of those, 63% were interviewed. Of those, we had 95% who had complete data on PDPT provision from the providers and the covariates that we were interested in. This first slide just looks at the offer of PDPT by provider. As I mentioned, we didn't have these data available for all of the patients, but if you look at the left-hand panel of the slide, among the 2,973 who were asked whether they were offered PDPT, half of the patients reported that their provider offered it to them. Among those who were offered PDPT, over 70% accepted it and reported that they had received PDPT from their provider. The panel on the right-hand side of the slide shows the proportion of patients that were offered PDPT by referral for partner services. So you can see that among the patients, the higher risk patients who were referred for partner services Only 30% of them were offered PDPT, compared to 76% that were not referred for partner services. So this really illustrates that the providers were taking care of the patients that they felt that they could help with notifying partners for. The next few slides look at covariates predicting PDPT provision by providers. Overall, during the intervention period, 34% of the patients that we interviewed had received PDPT for one or more partners. Women were more likely to receive PDPT. There wasn't a lot of difference by race, but Hispanic people were more likely to receive PDPT than other race ethnicities. There was no difference by age, but there was a lot of difference by provider type. And so people who were diagnosed in family planning and women's healthcare settings were much more likely to receive PDPT than people diagnosed by private providers, people who were diagnosed in our other provider category, and those seen in military clinics or emergency rooms or urgent cares. Here you can see that patients that were diagnosed with chlamydia were also more likely to be offered PDPT than those with gonorrhea. Those with just one sex partner were more likely to receive it compared to those with two or more. And again, patients who were referred for partner services were much less likely to receive PDPT than those who were not referred. This slide shows multivariate results from a multivariate model looking at provision of PDPT. At the top, you can see that referral for partner services was the strongest predictor of whether a patient received PDPT or not. And again, confirming the results that I presented in earlier slides, women and Latinos were more likely to receive PDPT than men or people of non-Hispanic ethnicities. People diagnosed in family planning clinics and women's healthcare settings also were more likely to receive it compared to private providers, which was the reference group here. And patients diagnosed by ERs in military settings and by other providers in the other provider category were less likely to receive it. And this model was also adjusted for race, age, and diagnosis. This slide looks at the association of PDPT from providers with partnered treatment. So in the figure, you can see that among patients who received PDPT, 91% of them reported at the time of interview that all of their partners had been treated, compared to those who did not receive PDPT, in which group 62% reported that all of their partners were treated. And when we looked at partner treatment with PDPT provision in the model, adjusted for gender, race, ethnicity, and time to interview, those who received PDPT were 25% more likely to say that all of their partners had been treated. In summary, half of the patients that we asked about an offer of PDPT from clinicians said that they had been offered PDPT. One-third of heterosexual patients in our study received PDPT from a provider, and women and people diagnosed in women's healthcare settings had higher PDPT use. Again, folks diagnosed in ERs and military and by military providers were less likely to receive PDPT, and the strongest predictor of PDPT receipt was referral for partner services. Finally, PDPT use was associated with increased partner treatment in our study. Some limitations of this particular analysis include that, again, not all of our patients were asked about an offer of PDPT, which we realized a little too late once we started the study and when we implemented it. Many of the DIS were using printed forms, and the question wasn't put onto the printed forms in time for everyone to sort of get used to the rhythm of asking that question as part of the interview. Also, provision of PDPT was based on patient self-report. Excuse me. Our intervention implementation varied greatly by LHJ and by WAVE, as Matt showed with one of his slides, and our results may not be generalizable to other areas or other populations. In conclusion, I feel like my conclusions are repeating Matt's, but I will just say them again anyway. We believe that programs promoting PDPT can increase the use of PDPT among providers. Our triage of partner services was successful in that we saw providers treating their low or giving their low-risk patients PDPT much more often to ensure partner treatment among those patients. PDPT receipt from providers was inversely associated with partner services. So again, we believe that the use of PDPT would be higher with fewer partner services. And finally, more research is needed to understand why some patients are offered PDPT and choose not to use it. Thank you for your attention, and I would be happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions? Just come to the mic. If not, actually, Roxanne, I have a question for you. Has anybody given any consideration to some sort of intervention to maybe increase use in emergency rooms or emergency departments? And in many places, a lot of cases are diagnosed there, and it seems like this would be an opportunity to implement a relatively brief intervention.
We've had some discussion with providers in emergency rooms about that, and they are really not interested at all. They don't want to go there. And so what we've done for the most part instead is suggested that they refer all of their patients to the health department, and we can provide them PDPT.
It's not an unusual reaction. Yeah. Any further questions?
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much.